We have also, we got a lot going on this weekend, but Brother Daniel Wakefield's ordination is this weekend in the evening. You don't want to miss that service. It'll be special. Brother Gabe Rule will be speaking, and the ordination will take place in that evening service this coming Sunday. So we are looking forward to that. You don't want to miss that. Coming up, we have November 4th through the 8th, our missions conference. Brother David Snyder, president of BIMI, and Dr. Edgar Fagali will be with us. He's our very own missionary. So we're looking forward to that. And in lieu of that, many of you have noticed there is a dark looking little mailbox type thing that'll be sitting out in the lobby. We are asking if you can whenever you're out and about grocery shopping, just pick up a couple gift cards, and it could be to anything that you like, but keep in mind, make sure that it's not only something that's available in this area. Any gas cards, grocery cards, preferably a store or a fast food restaurant that would be available throughout the U.S. because missionaries will be doing a lot of traveling, and it may not necessarily be in our area. So we ask that you help us with that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to bless these missionaries, and we're going to split it up amongst all of them, and then they'll have something. Let me tell you, as a former slash current missionary, still, we still do some speaking online every week. Tonight after the service, I run home and I get online and preach to the folks down there in Merida. But as a missionary, gift cards are like Christmas. And I know that Buffalo Ridge does that very well because you blessed my wife and I when we arrived here. And we're still living on that. And it is so neat. I cannot describe to you the feeling of being able to go. And many of you gave us gift cards to restaurants that we normally would not go to. And that is even extra special. And so I want to thank you for that and thank you for your heart that you have for doing that. You do a wonderful job at it. And we're really looking forward to being able to be a blessing to these missionaries. Then there's the couples retreat, February 26th through the 27th. Just put that on your calendar. Log it in the back of your brain. Not like your anniversary, but you write it down and so that you don't miss it. And we'll have a good time there. Let's go ahead and pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm looking forward to Brother Shannon and what he has to speak about tonight about resting in the Lord, in the Psalms. Father, thank you so much. What a wonderful privilege it is to take everything that we have, all of our cares. You've asked us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Thank you for what we're about to receive this evening through your word and through your servant, Brother Shannon. I pray that you'd bless him. Give him the words that we need to hear tonight. And Lord, I pray that you, as you have promised, would honor your word. We love you and we thank you for everything that you've done for us these first few days of the week. Be with us now, Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, good evening. Thank you for being in church tonight. For those of you who join us online, thank you for joining church tonight. And if you would take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37, Psalm number 37, chapter 37, and that will be our key chapter for this evening. And we will arrive there in just a moment. In way of review, this is our third lesson in the Survey of the Psalms. We have our first Wednesday night was on Psalm 110. Psalm 110 presented Christ as both priest and king, and we're thankful to serve a Savior that is the Savior of the world, that is both priest and king. We also stopped last week at Psalm chapter 57, and we looked at the biblical answer to fear, and we looked at the life of David, and we looked at the life of David during his time on his running from Saul, and on his time when he hid in the cave, and at a very vulnerable time in his life when he talked about the fear, the real fear that was in his life. and how he handled that fear and how he turned that over to the Lord and focused his thoughts and focused his heart on Almighty God. And so thankful for that example in Scripture as we looked at Psalm 57 last week. This week we're in Psalm 37, and our key thought for the night is rest in the Lord. How do we rest in the Lord? What does the Lord want us to understand from this psalm this evening? So as we read, you'll find, and we'll start in the very first verse in chapter 37, and we'll read through verse 9 in terms of what we want to take and study on tonight. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And verse 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage. We pray as we study your word tonight. Lord, I pray you'll help me. Lord, help me to be clear. Help your word to go forth into our hearts. Lord, help us to find courage, encouragement, rest. Lord, as we wait patiently on you, as we put our trust and our faith in our Almighty God. We ask these things in your name. Amen. And so as we look at Psalm chapter 37, I will have to admit that as I've studied and started looking at this verse and going back and after last Wednesday, began to continue to prepare for tonight's lesson and reading our key verse, which is Psalm 37:7, says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." One of the things that, oddly enough, has went on since Wednesday is on my drives to work. I don't know if anybody else has this thing that you deal with, but a lot of times I have to die to self daily when I'm get behind someone that's going less than the speed limit on the road. And, you know, I'm trying to get to work or trying to get here. And so the Lord was teaching me, although this is not a direct application of patience, the Lord was teaching me to rest and teaching me to have patience. So if you're that person that likes to go slow on the road, this is, and certainly don't take offense to that. I have a problem with being patient when I drive. And so I'll have to confess that the Lord used those examples in my life this week as I prepared and as I was meditating on this verse, resting, being patient on the Lord. And so as we think about this verse, resting in the Lord and waiting patiently, the idea here, rest, is to get quiet, to be silent before the Lord. We see that there is a divine order. It's so interesting in Scripture. If you really stop and slow down and read God's Word, word for word in every verse, there's a divine order in Scripture. And so we see here this order in this verse is ordered this way for a reason. It is rest first. We're resting in the Lord. We're waiting patiently. And then because of that, we can fret not. And so there is a divine order in Psalm 37:7 that we see in God's Word. So if we look at this, and Scott Polley has said a few things about this this particular psalm that I want to emphasize in way of introduction. Here we see that as in the very verses we read in the beginning here, we see that the words "fret not" was mentioned three times. Here, this psalm is written is sort of the fret not psalm. In other words, he wants to emphasize here to us in our Christian life that as we put our faith and trust and rest in the Lord, we should not fret. We should not be worried about the things that go on in our life. And so we found last week when we talked about fear that in fact was the common theme, that we need to trust and put our trust in the Lord. So we see that fret not is mentioned three times. We see that anxious care never had origin in God. We saw that last week in 2 Timothy when we talked about that the fear was not of God, but yet the power, the sound mind, the love that we find in Christ. And so we see that anxious care was never comes from God. That is the things that Satan puts and the devil puts in our life as we struggle with the things in our daily walk. We see that there's positives. Not only did he say that the things would come out of this, but we see some very positive things. Trust and obey in verse 3. Finding our joy in the Lord in verse 4. And committing our ways unto the Lord in verse 5. So we see here that there is an answer. We always think about and we can read in Scripture the things that the Lord doesn't want us to do and wants to remove from our life. Yet, He loves us so much that He also tells us what we should put in place of that. And so we see here that He also has an answer for the fear that we have and the fretting that goes on in our life. And so we're going to look tonight at rest, resting in the Lord, and how can we find rest in the Lord. The definition of rest, we talk about to go rest by lying down, to cease from action or motion. A lot of times we have a hard day's work and we come in and we may have a lot of work to do around the house and, wow, it feels good when you can finally sit down and rest. There's something refreshing about that. To be free from anxiety, from disturbances, and to remain confident. Do you realize that we are resting in an almighty God? We are resting in a God that never changes. And so we can have the confidence in our rest during these times. You know, we think of these world events going on around us, and how is it that we can rest in the Lord as in our Christian walk? We're going to look at six ways tonight that we can rest in the Lord. We're going to look at the resting in the will of God. We're going to be looking at resting in the love of God, the mercy of God, the Word of God, and then also resting in God the Father and resting in the finished work of Christ Himself. And so as we begin to look here, we will start first with resting in God's will. A.W. Tozier said, "I am thy servant to do thy will, and that will is sweeter to me than position or riches or fame, and I choose it above all things on earth or in heaven." How precious is the will of God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "When your will is God's will, you will have your will." Let me repeat that. When your will is God's will, you will have your will. We have to align ourselves with God's will. And as we align ourselves and we want to do the things that God wants us to do, our life lines up with the will of God. Our life lines up with the things that are important in our Christian walk. In way of looking at this, let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You can turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Thinking about resting in God's will. Romans in chapter 12 and verse number 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What amazing way to describe God's will. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We can rest in those things that are good, acceptable, and perfect. God's will, resting in God's will. Turn to the book of 1 John and let's look at 1 John together. 1 John in chapter 2 and verse number 17. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. God's word says, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Folks, we can rest as we seek God's will, as we study His Word, as we read our Bibles daily, as we spend time with Him in prayer, seeking that He may guide our steps, may guide and give us wisdom. We can rest in the almighty will of God for our life. And we see these passages help us and encourage us in that. When we see we can, as we're thinking about resting in the Lord, thinking about waiting patiently on Him, first we can rest in God's will. Second, we can see that we can rest in God's love. Romans 5:8, you can turn to there if you would like. I'll read that for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We see the love of our Almighty God. We see in this reference too in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature, other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The love of God. God loved you. God loved me. And it's a finished work. It's a finished love. It's an everlasting love. It's an unchanging love. It is a love that never changes. No matter how far we fall out of the things that God wants us to do, He has His arms open and is ready to welcome us back. For those in our Christian walk, and we have an everlasting relationship with Christ. As we accept Christ as our Savior, we're a child of God. We're a child of God then. And as we live the Christian life, and maybe we find times in our Christian walk where we fall short, where we're not doing what we should do, and the Lord stands with open arms, His love for us, His forgiving love for us to come back into the fellowship with Christ. And so we see this everlasting love of God, and also turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." We talked about that last week, but the love of God that He gives us. 1 John 4 and verse 9. You don't have to turn to that. I'll read that for us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. It says, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." We see here that we can rest in the love of God, the love that He has for us. First of all, are we showing that love? Is our life, are we living our life in a way that shows the love of God? Are we showing that as we rest in the love of God, as we rest in the love of Christ for our life? So we see that not only can we rest in God's love and in God's will, but we want to also see that we can rest in God's mercy. When we think of God's mercy, we think of the things that He is withholding from us, withholding something that we deserve. You know, we as humans, we deserve hell. But Christ died for us. His mercy in that He died for us shows us that God's mercy, and shows us the mercy that we can rest in. If we look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, let's turn to Romans 6, 23. Again, together as we look at this thought of God's mercy and how merciful He is towards us. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It is God's mercy. We deserve death. We deserve hell. But it's because of what He did for us that we can rest in His mercy. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 also talks about the mercy of God. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Here we see that the mercy of God is everlasting, is unending. There's never an end to the mercy of God. There's never something so far out of God's reach. Have we lost sight of the mercy of Christ and the mercy that He has for our life? Let us rest in that. Let us rest in the fact that we serve a God that cares for us, that cares that we live the right life, that cares that we want to do and want to walk the Christian life. And He has mercy towards us, that even when we fall and we deserve the things that we deserve, He holds those from us. What a merciful God we serve. Resting in the mercy of our God. Next we see that we are resting in God's Word. How powerful God's Word is. And we want to turn to Psalm 119. Let's read one. Turn to Psalm 119. We want to think about the power of God's Word. Psalm 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can we as Christians expect to rest in the Lord, expect to find God's will in our life, yet we don't use the light? We don't use the Word as the lamp into our feet and the light into our path. Thank the Lord for His Word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 also talks about God's Word. Hebrews 4 and 12. Again, this is a lot of turning tonight, but this is sort of a topical study where we're taking a thought, resting out of Psalm 37 and resting in God's Word, and we're applying that. How can we rest in the Lord? And resting in the Lord, one of the ways we can do that is by resting in God's Word. As you've turned to Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 12, talks specifically about the Word of God. It says, for the Word of God is quick and is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a powerful verse talking about the power of God's Word. Here we hold the very Word of God. And what rest we can have. Just this very week, I don't tend to post a whole lot on Facebook, but there was a verse that just spoke to me out of Psalms. And again, just the thought of God directing our path, lead my steps in the right direction. God's Word speaks to us when we need it the most. And we have God's Word here, and it is a powerful Word. It is a sharp Word. It is a discerning Word. So we see here in Hebrews what rest we can have in God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, again, thinking about and meditating on God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 23, or chapter 1, verses 23 says, here it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's Word is forever, for everlasting. And here we think about resting in such a Word. Are we showing our rest in God's Word, and are we reading it every day? Is there a time that you set aside in your own Christian life, in your own daily walk, that you're spending time in God's Word? If you're not, let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you about the importance of resting in the Lord and in resting in God's Word. Resting in the everlasting, almighty, all-powerful Word of God. We now see and move to our fifth point, and that is resting in God the Father. We want to turn to these and listen to these verses. If you'll listen here, I'm going to read these verses about resting in God the Father. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Isn't it wonderful to rest in the Father that knows our needs before we ever know what we need? Before we would ever begin to make that decision on our own, He already knows. Praise the Lord for such a Father. Matthew 7 and verse 11, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Thank the Lord for a good Father. What a good God we serve. John chapter 15 and verse 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall testify of me. We are resting in God the Father. And we have the God the Father has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, to help speak to us, to speak peace to us, to help guide us. In John 16, verse 23, it says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." And in James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Do you realize that we rest in an almighty God that provides our every need, that knows what we need before we ask, that can give us the things as we need Him, that sends us the Comforter, that gives us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And here we see that we can rest. If we're going to rest, as Psalm 37 says, rest in the Lord. How do we rest in the Lord? We rest in resting in the Father, resting in who the Father is, who God is, the aspects of our Almighty God. So we see here that we can rest in God the Father. And then we see, and our final point is resting in Christ, resting in the finished work of our Savior. And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord wants us to rest in the Lord. How does He want us to rest? He's the very one that gives it. Rest in Christ. Rest in who He is. Rest in what He does for us. In Luke 10:22, it says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him." In John 14:6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Here we see Jesus Christ resting in Christ, resting in the fact that He is the way, He's the truth, He's the life. Here we see that He is who we rest in. John 17:4 says, "I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." We are resting in Christ, that in Christ that work has been finished. The work on Calvary, the sacrifice that He made is finished for us. And so as we rest, as the psalm says, as we rest, we're resting in that finished work of Christ. And in Hebrews 4:3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. And He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." We as Christians, we that know Christ, no matter what goes on around us, we can rest. We can rest because we're resting in Christ. We are resting in His finished work. So as we meditate on this thought, resting in the Lord and resting and waiting patiently on Him, if we go back and think about this and turn back to the Psalms, if you're not in Psalms, turn back to our passage and in Psalm chapter 37. And we see here, as we kind of come to a close in our thought here, we see that, again, our key verse being verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Here we see that He tells us to fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Isn't it sometimes in the human eye, as we look around us and we see people and see things that we know are ungodly, we know are not right, and yet those people seemingly by the human eye are prospering and our things are going their way. We may think, wow, that's going their way, and here I am trying to do God's will and I'm struggling, I'm having difficulties. Well, the Lord gives us encouragement here and says, don't fret yourself over the things that people are not doing the right thing. Yet, and because we see later in verse 9, He says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." So we want to find ourselves encouraged in this thought, in resting in the Lord and waiting patiently upon Him. We'll read you a story about one of our references, which is in Matthew 11:28, talking about abiding in me, abiding in Christ. It says, Matthew 11:28 was the text of a preacher one night. He was a true and warm-hearted man, and as he drew near to the close of his address, his heart was so full of Christ that his lips could not express what he felt and wanted to say. All he could say was, "Come unto me." What does that mean? Come unto me. What does that mean? Again, he repeated, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" All at once, a little girl sitting on the front seat timidly arose, childlike, held out her hand. "Well," said the kind preacher, "what does it mean, dear child?" "Please, sir, it means that he wants me," was the touching reply. The preacher sat down. Both he and the people felt no more need to be said. Hearts became tender, eyes became wet with tears. And afterwards, one and another said, "The wisest and most able among us could not have given a truer and sweeter exposition of the text. Come unto me means that he wants me." The Lord wants you. The Lord wants me. He wants us to come unto him. And when he says come unto me, that means he wants you. He wants you to rest in him. He wants you to come to him with the things and the trials and the tribulations in your life. God desires us to come to him. Verse 7, again, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So tonight, as we meditate on resting in the Lord, we think about resting in God's will. The way to find God's will is to rest in him, to rest in his will as you take your steps in the Christian walk. We can rest in the perfect, the unchanging, the blessed will of God. We see that we can rest in God's love. God loves us with an everlasting love. We can see that we can rest in God's mercy, how merciful he was that we saw to us, that he withholds the things that we deserve and yet gives us everlasting life by the sacrifice of Christ. We can rest in God's word, his perfect, his powerful word. We can rest in God the Father. We can also rest and finally rest in God the Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 again says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text. Lord, I thank you for, as we've studied the Psalms, Lord, I thank you that you have helped me. Lord, how difficult it is for us to rest in the Lord just because we have a human nature. Our flesh gets in the way. We want to fix things. We want to move on to the next thing. And we want to have our life, our human side, our flesh, wants to fill us with worry and want to be distraught. But Lord, you want us to rest. Lord, tonight we've looked at a number of passages. Lord, a lot of scripture. But Lord, your word is true. And your word is encouraging. Lord, we've seen six ways tonight that we can rest in the Lord. Thank you for your rest. Thank you, Lord, that you'd want us, you desire us to come to you. Lord, tonight we are going to come to you, Lord, with our hearts open. Lord, wanting you to give us this rest, want to rest in you. We ask these things in Christ's name.